let's take our hymn books tonight and let's turn to 635. 635. Titus 2, 11 through 15. Let's say it together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. All right. I can see why you want that included, Pastor. That 15th verse is for you. All right. Let's turn to 639. We'll sing that as our second song. 639.
And I was about 15 yards away from it, and he just kept on driving. He didn't wait for me, and I collapsed in the grass at a shady spot where this new tree was planted, and about 30 cars passed me by, and this one woman named Tracy stopped and helped me, took me home, and got me to the door, and I collapsed on the bed, and thankful for her. I invited her to church. That's all I could do. And I hope she comes. But may God bless her richly.
Amen. Keep praying for your health that it gets better.
Yeah, no, the sun really, you know, was beating hard, and that saps me even more, so it was really bad. But I was drinking fluids and trying to get my sugar up and my electrolytes, but After about 15 minutes at home, I was all right.
Okay. Erica?
I heard from Kathy Hoover today about Mike. He went to the doctor and had some tests done. He was having some trouble with his heart. She said that there's certain numbers that are supposed to be at 25 that are now at 14, which isn't a good thing, but she doesn't really understand how that, what it means. But to keep an eye if he has any chest pain or shortness of breath, which thankfully he doesn't. But she did say that they called back and they discovered that he had a pretty decent heart attack, probably while he had COVID, that I don't think they really knew about until now. So if you could just keep his health in prayer. As far as I know, he's been able to preach and hasn't had any serious symptoms or trouble. But if we could just keep him in prayer.
He is on the list. So
yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to give an update, what she told me today. And then one more thing. A friend of mine's daughter goes to Catasauqua High School, and she was attacked today by 5 girls on the bus. And she's in pretty rough shape. I mean, she's home. She's just bruised up a bit. So if you could just pray that nothing serious, you know, would happen, or there wouldn't be any further issues. Her name's Tessa.
So over the weekend, I mean, long story short, basically what happened was someone tried to, I don't know if they have stolen my identity or just used my social or whatever, but they made a fraudulent, like, unemployment claim in my name. So trying to deal with it, the way I found out was I got some letter in the mail, like, over the weekend, and it said something about, like, a change of address. It's from, like, the PA Reliant card thing. But it was, like, so vague. So I just figured, oh, I'll look into it Monday. I happened to just look at my bank account on my app on my phone, and they deposited money into my account 3 times. Like, they got, like, 2 weeks plus the extra $300 thing. So I have to get this money back. Luckily, I was able to get in contact with them, but they're so backed up that they're just basically giving you a ticket number, and they're like, well, someone will contact you at some point, either through email or phone or both. So, A, I'm just trying to get it figured out, but I don't even know if the payments are going to stop coming or if they're going to keep putting these, you know, if someone's going to keep making claims. So I'm trying to figure out how to get this money back, and then obviously figure out how on earth they got into that, because they have to have your social and your PIN number to even do that. But they must have been trying to do it in my name, and then because of, you know, when COVID hit, I would collect unemployment for like 3 weeks, so they had my direct deposit information, so it just automatically went to my bank account. But I mean, I'm not that worried about it. I just don't want them thinking that I did it. At least I got through to let them know, and they've made notes about it, but I have no idea. I mean, this seems like this is going to be a long, drawn-out process to figure out. And in the meantime, you can't get a hold of anybody to, like, get them, you know. I don't know what these people have done with my information, so
Let's pray that that all gets figured out. And also, on the way here, when we were driving over here, her brake line blew out, so we kind of rolled on into the alleyway here. So we could just pray that we could get that fixed kind of quickly.
Like return service.
Like literally, it just, I was laying under the truck when we got here. We were at the point when the brakes started going out, we were closer to here than home, so we just kept going. And by the time we got here, we basically just coasted on into the alley.
So we're just
going to
sleep here.
So, but I can see where it blew out. But.
My thoughts exactly.
Well, how's the saying goes, when it rains, it pours?
Oh, it's raining.
All right.
Rather have snow.
All right.
No, we had enough snow.
No. Okay. Anything else? All right, Pastor.
It's been an interesting week. So I got one prayer request too. Just keep. I got in contact by a man from Tennessee who called me up Monday night about his niece that lives in this area who was evicted and is homeless. She's got two kids, but the church did well for a little bit, but just keep her in prayer and God will deal with her. And she knows nowadays it seems like everybody knows the Lord, everybody knows Jesus, and yet there's no. Like I was telling somebody, come on, brother. Yeah, you can't.
Sometimes people do this with police. They'll call the police and say, fix my son or fix my daughter. You know, they've been raised for 20 years this way. Now all of a sudden they want the police to come in 5 minutes, fix the situation that's been going on for 25 years, and it just don't work that way. You can't have a situation where it's been going along for 40 years and now all of a sudden you call a church and a pastor and expect it to be fixed in 5 minutes. Just things don't work that way in life. There's consequences to actions. You burn bridges and you cause issues. You cause problems. The Lord can forgive you and we can start working, but it's not going to get fixed overnight. And so just keep that individual in prayer. Keep her in prayer. I had to talk with her. I had to talk with her son. I didn't get to talk really much with her daughter because she was in a car. But just keep them in prayer. I'm going to do a little something different this evening as well as far as after when we pray tonight. I meant to get a whiteboard, but I have to come over and clean that one off, and I need some special stuff to clean it off because it's been on there for a while. But I'm going to start putting up a whiteboard when we pray on Wednesday nights, and I'm going to list some things on there that are dear to our hearts or something that's heavy. And I like when we go into our groups and when we pray that we pick two or three of those subjects, and that's what we pray about. I don't believe it, you know, I believe prayer is important in church. Obviously, prayer is very important. But I don't believe you come to church either to where on a Wednesday night unless the Lord got into something and you're praying for an hour after church. I'm not saying the Lord can't get in that, but something just laid in my heart to pray for some specific things that are heavy. Take the situation like Pastor Reddy. You take what's going on with Brian and Erica, our country, just specific things and really hone in on two or three things and pray for that fervently before God, try to bring it before his throne. So I got some things listed tonight that maybe you can just pick a couple of them, and we'll pray specifically for those people and the situations that were brought up to us. Mike Hoover as well, and Tracy, that she would come out of the church, and Tessa. Just some certain things that are on our hearts tonight to pray for. If you take your Bible this evening, we're going to continue on in Second Peter. Second Peter, chapter number 1. If you want to turn there. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And there's some things that have been on my heart and mind just this week, just in different situations and dealing with different things and talking to different people and spending some time with people that it's so important. It's so important to stay in the Word of God and to read it and to read it and to read it and to read it. The more things I face and deal with, and just as we go along here, the more it's been put on my heart and confirmed, I believe, by the Lord, how much more time we need to spend in the Bible and not just in the book of Revelation. I'm talking about a number of situations now spanning at least a year or 2 years, not even before I came up here. A lot of people that I've had to deal with, and I'm talking about even when I go back as far as when I was a chaplain, it seems like everybody and their brother wants to stay, and they think the only book in the Bible is Revelation. And I think some people are trying to learn more about the Antichrist than they are about Jesus Christ. They're more worried about the seals and the trumpets and what the Antichrist is going to do and what are the 10 horns. And there's a time and place for it. But I believe sometimes if you get caught up in the book of Revelation, you miss out and you lose focus of what really does matter and what the Lord puts the emphasis on. I believe everybody's sitting here tonight, for the most part, I believe we believe and know the Lord's coming back soon. Okay, so then what does the Lord put the emphasis on? We're not going to change what's going to happen in society and the world as a whole. We know the new world government and all that's coming together and things are happening here and there all around the world. And it's supposed to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen and it is happening. But what does God put the emphasis on while we're abiding here? And what are we supposed to spend our time with? And I believe Peter, as we're going through here in 2 Peter, that Peter puts the emphasis and just shows us what God puts the emphasis on. So look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to finish up here verses 12 through 15 this evening, Lord willing, because they basically have the same theme behind it. 2 Timothy, or Peter, chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says this, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the air condition. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful day you gave us. Lord, the sunshine, the breeze. Lord, just how good you are to us. And Lord, I just pray in this time we have here tonight, Lord, I pray you just open our eyes. I pray you'd open our hearts to receive what we need out of your word this evening. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter continues on here talking to the brethren, the letter that he's written to them. And he says here in verse number 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." The word "wherefore" means for which reason. He's saying for which reason. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to tell you, to put you always in remembrance of the things that I've talked about." And I know I might sound like a broken record going through this over and over again. But I am more, like I said earlier, I believe God just affirmed it to my heart that God puts the emphasis on attitudes and how we carry ourselves among other individuals we come in contact with. I'm more and more convinced of that God puts the emphasis on what Peter tells the brethren there in verses 5 through 7. To where we have kindness, to where we have virtue, to where we have knowledge, to where we have patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. These things show that God is working in our life. You know why the Ten Commandments were so important? If someone's honest, the reason the Lord gave the Ten Commandments was it was a schoolmaster. The Ten Commandments were given not for us to try to think that we can keep them. The Ten Commandments were given as a mirror for you to look in that mirror and realize there's no way I can keep the Ten Commandments. So you say, "Preacher, why are you bringing up Ten Commandments?" Because the things that Peter lists here in his first chapter and writing this book to the brethren is, listen, if you have trouble or you struggle and you say, "Well, I just can't have patience. I just don't have patience. I don't have brotherly kindness. There's no way I have charity. I can't see faith in my life, then maybe what it does then is it makes you check up to realize, okay, do I even really know the Lord? Am I really even saved? Because I'm trying to do this and I can't do it. Just like if you look at the Ten Commandments, you realize I can't do that. I need a Savior. But see, when you can just sit at home and just read through the book of Revelation and just spend your time and everything else, there's no heart checks. What are you going to be worried about patience for? Because you're not doing anything. There's nothing there for the Lord to bear witness to say, hey, you know, you're lacking in this. You're not growing in this. You're spending more time in these other things and they're not dealing with you. So you can keep reading Revelation and it really doesn't deal with your heart. But you start dealing with brotherly kindness, and now you're like, yeah, I kind of struggle with having some brotherly kindness. I'm not very friendly. You know, that's where it starts getting to you. And I think that's what the Lord would have us to know and grow in, is these things that he's got listed. But he says, listen, Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not going to be careless. I'm not going to be heedless. I'm going to try to keep saying this to you, that you need to put these things in remembrance and make sure that these things are in your life. Because if they're in your life, chances are you're not going to fall. And if you do fall, you're not going to stay down very long. And chances are you're not going to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says here, take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter 15. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. He's not going to be careless. He's not going to be heedless to get the brethren to remember these things that he's telling them before he passes off the scene. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14. Paul sort of says the same things here. He says in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14, he says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul's telling them there, to those there, the Romans, saying, listen, I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, that you be full of what? Goodness, and filled with knowledge, and then also able to admonish one another. That's something there. To admonish somebody. That means basically this: to warn or notify of a fault, to reprove with mildness, to counsel against wrong practices, or to caution or advise somebody. As brethren, if there's something that you see in somebody's life that, listen, they're getting ready to drive the car off the cliff, or they're about ready to go over the edge, and you realize that, the Bible, Paul says here, that you're able to admonish one another, to try to say, hey, brother or sister, this probably isn't the best for you to be doing this. The Bible says in Proverbs, we've looked at it before, chapter 6, verse 23, that the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. People, a lot of people don't like to be reproved. A lot of people don't like to be corrected. You know, brethren, this is the question. What does the Holy Spirit bear witness to? What does the Holy Spirit bear witness to? The Bible says, and we're going to look at it this evening, and I believe it's imperative. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. He now dwells within you. And he's the one that teaches us. Now, the Bible says we have pastors and teachers. You have Sunday school teachers. You have preachers. You have brethren that will get up, brothers in the Lord, that will get up and teach. And that's right and that's proper. But my ultimate question to you this evening is, do you have someone inside you that teaches you as you read the Word of God? Let me rephrase it this way. Has there ever been a time in your personal Bible study, as you're reading your Bible through your personal Bible study time, and something just jumps out at you off the page and you're like, yes, I get it? That's the Holy Spirit teaching you and bearing witness to your spirit as you read God's Word. Now listen, lessons are fine. But one of the dangers we run into in our churches today is that men can get up and teach if they're given a book. You got some, you can buy books. You go to Hackman's Bible Bookstore if it's still open, or you go any place, you get off the internet and you get Sunday school lessons through the book of John. Outline everything in it. You don't have, you basically don't even have to study. You just read through it one time and you can get up there and wing it if you're a halfway good teacher. But that's the problem. If you're a halfway good teacher, you could go through the motions just because it's all been prepared for you. The question comes in then, though, can you get in your Bible yourself and get something out of your Bible that you could teach? And that goes for man or woman. Does God bear witness to your spirit as you read the Bible and you can get things out of the Word of God and it bears witness to you and you can grow and you can see God working in your life as you spend time in it? Or is it just completely dead to you? That's a question. That's a very important question. Peter tells them here, he says, listen, I'm not going to be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. Take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. This theme here between Peter and Paul about putting the brethren in remembrance of some things and how it's safe to do so. Look what Paul says here to those at Philippi. He says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Look what he says. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in my flesh, none. My flesh will quickly deceive me, quickly. That's why it's so important to have the witness of the Holy Spirit within you. That's how I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved that as I read my Bible, God bears witness to me as I read that book. When I got saved, it's almost like the lights did come on. It was like that book became new. Not only did that book become new, but I will say this right here, this book became new to me. Not this one in particular, but the hymn books. I remember singing hymns growing up in church, and sometimes, God forgive me, making fun of them as a teenager. But when I got saved, even the very hymns became alive to me. There's power in the blood, just as I am. It's like a whole new realm of I've never experienced before because of the new birth. And Paul tells those at Philippi, as he wrote this letter to him, he says, listen, I might be saying the same thing over and over to you, but it's not grievous to me because it's safe. I want to stay on safe ground as I teach and as I preach because it's needful. So what did Paul, we're not going to look at it tonight, but read through the book of Philippians. What did Paul teach them and admonish them and help them with? And then that's what's important. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. And remember what Peter said. Peter says, I won't be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. Look what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses number 1. Why? Why, preacher? Why do we need to keep going through this? Because look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, look what it says, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you see what Paul's telling Timothy here? He's saying, listen, he says, Timothy, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God says, he speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. We're not talking about lost individuals or individuals who have never been in church. We're talking about people that were in the church because he says they depart from the faith. Why do they depart from the faith? giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know why it's so important to be in church, whenever you can be in church? Because there's seducing spirits out there and there's doctrines of devils, and they do a masterful job pulling people away from the faith that they once knew. And didn't Peter say the same thing there in chapter 1? Lest you become blind, you become barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter talks about the same thing in the first chapter there in 2 Peter. Same type of principles. That you can forget that you were purged from your old sins. Why? Because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I got a little red flag that goes up on me now that I'm a preacher. And I hadn't even before I was a preacher. When people spend more time in watching preachers on television than they do in the Bible. They spend more time reading books and books and books rather than reading the Bible. When they spend more time watching good Christian movies than they do spending time in the Bible. Little red flags go up. Because then there's also things that are coming. I've had people say, well, yeah, I do this and I want, but I don't read my Bible much. But I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. But I got to get more of my Bible. Something's flipped upside down here. Paul tells Timothy, he says, listen, they'll depart from the faith and they'll give heed to seducing spirits. I would say probably 2% of preachers on television that I listen to. 2%. Most of them, you have to be careful. You have to be careful because that doesn't replace the church. And you have to be careful what they say. And I would even take heed if they're not even using this Bible, they're using another version. You're telling me right there, you don't even know where the Word of God's at. You don't even know the two lines of manuscripts. You don't even know anything about West. You can't even figure out where the Bible's at, much less you're going to start teaching me something out of it. I'd have to scratch my head and wonder about that for a second. You know why, brethren? Because again, it comes back to the Holy Spirit bears witness to things. And we're going to read on through in 1 Peter as the last part of chapter 1. He talks about I don't want to misquote it because my brain's every word this night. He says in 1 Peter, the last part, he says, knowing this verse that no prophecy of the scriptures have any private interpretation. Right? So it should bear witness to others that have the Holy Spirit of God. If something's being taught and it's coming from God and the Lord's in it, then the Holy Spirit should bear witness with you too about it. It shouldn't just be one man and then everybody else is like, well, I don't understand. And he's like, no, this is it. And it's not bearing witness to your spirit. Then you should probably scratch your head a little bit and try to figure a little bit more out of that. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit should be bear witness to truth, because that's what the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness to truth. Well, if it's truth, God should bear witness to it. Now look, why? Because the seducing spirits doctrine, back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Look what they do. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And look what they start teaching. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So what is a doctrine of devils or something that seducing spirits are going to try to teach you that they're going to forbid you to get married? That's a doctrine of a devil. That's a seducing spirit. What's another one? Forbidding to eat meat. How many Christians I've heard, good brothers and sisters of Christ, well, I'm stopping eating meat. I'm not eating meat no more. I just don't think God wants me eating meat. Paul told Timothy to abstain from meats. That's a seducing spirit. That's a doctrine of a devil. You need meat. You need to eat meat. Actually, you couldn't have been a part of the children of Israel if you didn't eat meat, because you need to take part of that Passover. You better eat that lamb. Brethren, Paul is telling Timothy, listen, these things are serious. And brethren, he was telling Timothy that 2,000 some years ago. Where are we at today? He says in a lot of times, and he's telling Timothy this back then, where are we at today? Look what he says in verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you like barbecue, eat you some barbecue. You're not sinning against God if you're eating a pig. That's Bible. But there's some good preachers that say you ought not eat no pork. That's not Bible. The Bible says here, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know what the key is today for us, brethren? Moderation. If you're eating 10 barbecue sandwiches, now we got an issue. Because that's gluttonous. One or two is good enough. But you start shoving 10 barbecue sandwiches in your mouth, and you get a pie, and then you got three cakes, and okay, now we got some issues because your moderation's off the charts. But just because you're eating a little pepperoni on your pizza, you're not sinning against God. Okay? And Paul talks about that. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, there are people teaching that. I know a very good preacher that I thought very highly of. He said you ought not to eat any of that stuff. That's not Bible. That is not Bible. Look at verse 6. Look what Paul says then to Timothy. Look what Paul puts the emphasis on. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance, there's those words again, these things. These things. What things? What he just talks about, being careful about seducing spirits, being careful that you don't give heed to doctrines of devils, that you don't depart from the faith, that you don't have your conscience seared with a hot iron, that you don't have men trying to come into your living room speaking lies and hypocrisy, trying to get over on you. Well, I watched this television preacher and he told me I shouldn't be eating pork. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? He says next here in verse 6, he says, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But look what he says in verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself, what? Rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. My throat's kind of dry right here. Brethren, listen, I'm dead serious on this thing here. God puts the emphasis on godliness. Living a holy life in front of everybody that's around us. Living a life of godliness. That's what God puts the emphasis on. That is part of those things and what God says is important. That you live a holy, pure, godly life. That our attitudes are correct with individuals. That we're willing to forgive others that have trespassed against us. Forgiveness. I almost preached on that this evening. Before I came over here, I'm telling you about 15 minutes before I came over here, there was a situation I was dealing with this week, and I got thinking about it. I said, Lord, I said, you know what I think this issue is in that situation? That person's never forgiven the other person. And that's why it seems like they're so bitter. And I don't even think they realize it. They've never forgiven. They've never forgiven. Now, the thing about forgiveness is this. If someone trespasses against you and offends you and causes you a problem, you forgive them in your heart, but you don't go up and offer forgiveness until they seek forgiveness. It's very important. If that person, they offend you, they lied to you, they cheated you, they didn't do right, and it offended you, it hurt you, it cut you deeply, you're to forgive them for Lord Jesus Christ's sake, but you're not to offer that forgiveness to them until they come and seek the forgiveness. It's very important. Because you could be a good Christian and have a good mindset and a good attitude. Be like, you know, I just want to let you know, I forgive you for what you did to me. They might look at you and say, I didn't need your forgiveness. I ain't asking for your forgiveness. I meant what I said. And now you're really hurt. Don't seek the forgiveness until they humble down and ask for the forgiveness. Because you might be just giving them more power. You forgive them in your heart. You pray for them. But until they come to seek the forgiveness, don't give it yet. But make sure it's done in your heart. Make sure you're willing to forgive. Paul tells Timothy, he says, listen, these things are important. He says in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, take your Bible real quick and look over at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 18. Peter says, he said that, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He goes on to say, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. The latter part of that verse, Peter tells them, he says, listen, right now you know these things. Right now you're established in these things. You're settled on them. You got them. You got a good grip on them. But look what 1 John chapter 2 says in verse number 18. John says this, he says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This kind of cross-references back over to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul's talking to Timothy saying, listen, they depart from the faith. Here John says, listen, they went out from us, but they weren't of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But look at verse 20 now. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now that word unction can mean anointing. It can also mean divine or sanctifying grace. He says here, but we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Look down at verse number 27. But the anointing, talking about verse 20, they kind of go hand in hand with each other, but you have an unction. Verse 27, he says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Talking about Jesus Christ, that's the Him. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath been taught you, ye shall abide in Him. John's telling those brethren there, listen, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. Look what he says in verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Do you know the truth this evening? What are three things in the Bible that the Bible says is truth? Three of them are, one of them is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then in John, I believe, 16 and 4, it talks about the Comforter, that he'll bear witness and teach truth. The Holy Spirit bears witness to truth in the book of John. Here, John mentions it again in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about that no lie is of the truth. The question this evening, for those that maybe even listen on this recording, is does the truth bear witness with your spirit? Do you know the truth this evening? Look real quick over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Almost done here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us. How is it revealed unto us? By his Spirit. Look what it says next. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God, look what it says next here. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. But look what happens in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You will never know the Bible like you ought to know it until you're saved and born again. Amen. Until you've been converted, you might know the Bible, but you're not going to know the Bible. That makes sense. You might be able to quote some verses. You might be able to tell me who Jesus is. You might even be able to tell me some stories that Jesus did, the parables he taught. You might be able to tell me about Moses and Noah and the ark and Adam and Eve. But do you know it spiritually? Can you pull out spiritual principles from Noah and the ark? Can you pull out spiritual principles from Adam and Eve? Can you pull out spiritual principles from Moses as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt? Can you pull out spiritual things from the Word of God? Or is it all just intellectual knowledge of what the Bible says? See, sometimes a man, I think, needs to be given just a Bible and a notebook and a pen, says, go get a lesson together to preach. Put aside everything you've got. Put aside everything you've got. Just take you and that Bible. Get you alone off in the woods there. Off in the woods there. Off in a field somewhere. Get you a Bible. Get you a pen. And get you a notebook. And try to get something from God. And a lot of men be like, I don't know if I can do that. A woman or a man ought to be able to do that. A woman or a man ought to be able to take that Bible, get them a little notebook, get them a pen, and start getting some stuff out of that Bible that the Holy Spirit teaches you. Because that's what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul tells those in Corinth, he says, listen, it's the Spirit that teaches you all things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, scripture with scripture, context of verses. We need, brethren, I'm almost done. We need the whole counsel of God. We need from Genesis to Revelation. We need everything and in between it. And it's all got its own proper and place. And you rightly studied it, so thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we need it all. And all of it can help us if we allow it. And all of it is needful so that we don't become forgetful hearers of what has been taught to us. Now let's finish up there back in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter number 1. We'll finish up the next verses there and close here. Because he basically is saying the same thing, the same kind of mind, the same kind of thought through the last couple verses here. Verse number 13, he says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. We see the same kind of thought process with Paul in Acts chapter 20, as we read it earlier this week, early on Sunday, how he's getting ready to lead Ephesus and he's leaving the brethren there. And he talks about how that the possibility that there's grievous wolves that could come in. And we see this burden on Peter's heart as he realizes he's getting ready to depart off the scene. He doesn't want to see or have happen to where the brethren get torn apart and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and wolves come in and devour them. And he's trying to hammer home this point, saying, have these things in remembrance, even after I pass off the scene. Keep what's been taught to you by me through the Holy Spirit of God. Keep what you've learned and what the Holy Spirit has borne witness to. I want to close with this last verse. Look over in Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. We'll close with this right here. Psalm 90. Prayer of Moses. Psalm chapter 90 is a prayer of Moses. Look what Moses says here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'll look here at verse number 10 through 12. But look what Moses says here. A man that knew God. He said, the days of our years are 70 years. 70 years old. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Then look what he says in verse 12. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses is praying to God. He's talking to God here. And he says, Lord, teach me to number my days. Why? For what purpose? That I might apply my heart to wisdom. Because Moses said, if we're doing good, we'll make it to 70. If we're doing really good, we'll make it to 80. And according to the word of God here in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, if you make it past 80, you're doing good. You're doing real good. That's just Bible. And Moses brings this up, and the Lord has him bring it up, and it's recorded to us in Scripture for what purpose? So that we can number our days. That we realize that we don't have a lot of time. So that when we realize we don't have a lot of time, hopefully that will inspire us, hopefully that will encourage us, hopefully that will push us to spend more time with God, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in His Word, and apply our hearts to the wisdom that comes from God. That we put the emphasis, what God puts the emphasis on, so that we don't become blind, so that we don't become forgetful, so that we don't become barren or unfruitful or forget our Lord who purged us or purged our sins with His blood. Important things to remember this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. I pray that something here this evening made sense, dear God. Lord, I believe you put the emphasis on the things that you had Peter put the emphasis on, Lord. And those are things of character. Those are things of the heart. Those are things of our attitudes, Lord, and how we conduct ourselves. Is our life holy, and is our life a godly life, a life that is pleasing in your sight? Help us, Lord, to not be forgetful hearers, but doers of your word. And Lord, help us to put the emphasis on where you put the emphasis. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So before we go to the Lord in prayer in groups, I'm going to read some names off. You got a pen or a paper, and one of them jumps off to you, I'd like for you to pray for them. Okay? So if you got a pen or you got a piece of paper or you can just remember in your head, I'd like you to pick two of these people that I'm going to read off to you. And I want you, if you don't mind, I want you praying for them specifically this evening, that God would deal with them about their soul and that they would truly see where they stand with God concerning their soul. Okay? So the first is this, is our president, Joseph Biden, and he's married. He has a wife. Her name is Jill. So either those two are laid upon your heart to pray for our president, Joe Biden, or pray for his wife, Jill. He also has 4 children. You feel led to pray for one of his children. His children's names are Hunter, Ashley, Naomi, and Bo. Those are his 4 kids. We have a vice president, Kamala Harris. She's also married, has a husband. His name is Doug Emhoff. You feel like praying for him. He has 2 kids. They are named Cole and Ella. Our governor, Tom Wolf, he's also married. His wife's name is Frances. They also have 2 daughters named Sarah and Katie. Our senator here in Pennsylvania, we have 2 senators. Every state's got 2 senators. Our senators are Robert Casey Jr. and Patrick Tomey. So if you feel led to pray for either one of those men, pray for them and their families. Our representative for this congressional district here is Susan Wild, if you want to pray for her. Our Supreme Court justices for the United States, if you feel like praying for one of the Supreme Court justices, they're John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Stephen Breyer, Samuel Alito, Sonita Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Barrett, if you feel like praying for two or three of our Supreme Court justices. Obviously, we want to pray for our mayor, and also the chief of police here is Douglas Kish. So if you feel like any of those people, any of those individuals stick out to you, jump out to you, I just ask you pray for two or three of them specifically, that God would just show them where they're at spiritually, and then that God would also help them in the position of leadership that they're in, that they would lead righteously and with the wisdom that comes from God's word, that they would make righteous decisions. So if you would do that for me, I would appreciate it as a church that we'd pray for those that are in positions of authority, that God would help them out. Amen. So let's go ahead and we'll break up in our groups if you want to stay to pray. And we'll try to pray for these people. Amen.